Hi everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today I'm hanging out with my friend Yashoda Nandan, who is an amazing artist, musician, filmmaker, and also a bhakta. And I recently watched his movie, which we're going to talk about today, which he wrote and directed, called The Golden Age. It was mind-blowing, and I ended up getting in contact with Yashoda Nandan, and we have instantly formed a friendship through bhakti and through our love of art and things like that. So we decided he'd come on today and we would talk about what he's up to and hopefully get other people to check out his movie too, because it's really cool. I've honestly never seen anything quite like it. So anyway, thank you for being here today, Prabhu. Really appreciate you coming out and taking the time to talk with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. This is very sweet.
Yeah, so people may also know you by Justin Connor, which is the name that they might, if they wanted to search and learn more about you, they might also look up Justin Connor. In the bhakti tradition, obviously, when we're initiated, we receive devotional names. So you go by a few names, as do I. Some people know me as Adam Ellen Boss, otherwise Achyuta Bhava. So Yashoda Nandan and Justin Connor. But you wrote you'd written you wrote and directed a movie that's really, really unique, and it's called The Golden Age. And I wonder if, I would try to describe it, and I will in my own words, like my experience of it, but maybe you could just give everyone a synopsis of what your movie is about.
Sure, thank you. It's like a fe it's a rockumentary that follows a sort of a fallen pop star named Maya O'Malley, and he goes through kind of talking about some incendiary remarks in the press about diet and spirituality and corporations. And we kind of track his path, and then in the middle of the film, we realize that he's kind of been through the ringer and had an abusive past, and is trying to come to terms with it. And the story moves on by making more peace with his past to make room for his devotional path, which I thought was maybe a sage way to express to others that this is the way, or a way, to heal from some of those wounds that always are creeping on our shoulders. So a lot of this was autobiographical, but it's told through a musical of trying to bring songs and melody into a way to tell a story in a non-traditional way. So it's some people see it, think, oh, this is a documentary, and oh wait, it's a narrative. Wait a minute, who is this guy? So people who don't know me fall for it, hook, line, and sinker, that this person actually exists, and starts looking him up. And I was trying to create this idea of what is real and what is fake, as well as one's identity. But I think it's healing a lot of people that have been through some traumas in their past, and make way for the sweet devotional fold, as we know as bhakti.
That is exactly the experience that I had. I will tell you guys, as if you check this movie out, and I'll show you guys how to connect with this in the video. We'll put links in and everything like that. But this movie, The Golden Age, the way that I heard about it was through another podcast, and it was described as a rockumentary, which I didn't really know what a rockumentary was, so I just assumed that it was like a documentary about a rock star. And that it involved a rock star who got himself into hot water by saying controversial things, and then as his career sort of spirals out of control, that he, or as his career kind of his stardom and his fame takes a hit, that he also goes through this really deep inner process of healing and self-discovery, and it involved devotion and a trip to India and shamanism and psychedelics and things that, of course, I was like, straight out of s elements of some of the things that I've gone through in my life, and that I think a lot of people in our generation and previous generations have gone through: drug, sex, rock and roll, healing, trauma, psychedelics, spirituality, yoga. I mean, it's kind of the story from the 50s or 60s forward, that a lot of people have looked in similar directions for healing. And but as this movie was going on, anyway, the first 30 minutes, this rock star, Maya O'Malley, I'm Googling on my phone, first of all, because I'm like, who? I've never heard of this rock star. But there's people being interviewed, like from, I think it was a band member from the Pixies or something like that. And it was like, I was sitting there being like, I've never heard of this guy. But one of, and not that, the reason that I was so taken in by it is because, as the film is unfolding and telling the story about this rock star and his transformational journey, there's music set to it that's really, really good. And that's why I was like, who is this? I haven't heard this before. And this is the kind of stuff that I would actually have on my playlist when I'm jogging, or this is the kind of stuff I might put on if my wife and I are going to stay up late at night and just talk. Like, it's really good music. And I'm just sitting there going, like, I've never heard of Maya O'Malley. Who the hell is this? And I'm looking him up, and all of a sudden I realize I've gotten, I joked with my wife about it afterwards. I was like, I was Spinal Tapped. I was Spinal Tapped because I didn't.
I should have turned the speaker to 11.
That's right. That's right. Yeah,
Big
exactly.
Bottom, Big Bottom part two.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't realize that this was a fictional character that you were playing, and that you had actually written all of this music, which was profound. I mean, it was not only good music, but as the journey unfolds, and I don't want to give anything away, but as the journey unfolds and the rock star is going through this kind of, you know, almost faded collapse, it's like watching a star collapse in the movie. And as he's going through it, you know, his music is evolving and changing as he is. To be able to do that artistically, I couldn't believe that someone had actually drawn all of that out of a fictional character, that you had infused all of that together. So that was one of the most mind-blowing experiences of watching the movie. And what I hear you saying is that was actually intentional to give a mind twist like that to the audience a bit.
Yeah, wow. First of all, what a what a review. But yes, very much so. First of all, I have to preface, and I'll try to cover some of what you said because it was so thorough, but I have to preface some of this by saying that I discovered you through my friend Madhu Mangala, who told me about you. And then I saw you speaking on Namaras's podcast, and you were talking about your journey, and I'm sure we'll get into it, about some of our own paths. And I believe you mentioned you had an alcoholic father as well as myself, of which is transpired in the film. And and I was listening to your journey, and you were talking about plant medicine and all these different doshas and like trying to heal from these wounds. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's going through the same thing I had. And I felt like an immediate kinship with you. So it hits home, and I revel and honor that you took it in the way it was meant to be taken in. But I think the whole film, and you mentioned Spinal Tap, and there's a lot of people who've seen it, are like, are you a Christopher Guest fan? I'm like, I am. I'm a huge Christopher Guest fan. Whereas his films are kind of like for comedy, I felt like this on some level is a comedy. It's a satire on material life. It's a satire on fame, you know, and it was important for me. It's funny you mentioned the Pixies. My friend David Lovering, who was the drummer of the Pixies, and decided to do a cameo in it, and I wanted to create that suspension of disbelief that this is actually happening. And most people who watch it have the same reaction as you did, where they start Googling and be like, what's going on? Who is this guy? How come I haven't heard of him? But I wanted to play with this idea of identity, as well as at the time when I was writing it, because I'd been an actor for years and had released an album, and I was like, where am I kind of headed? And I wanted to do something of more substance, particularly like in regards to the devotional fold, because I knew that was where I was heading in terms of Krishna consciousness. I was watching a lot of music documentaries and watching these artists follow this very similar trajectory, where they come from this fractured past and then they have this big onslaught of fame and they're touring and they're kind of losing their mind. And then they have to really check in with themselves. And I'm like, wow, maybe I can do that and write a story with it. So I had to write the songs that helped tell the story, which was a process in itself in conjunction with the script. So the songs are like telling part of the story as the film's going on, in a way like a pivotal scene was. So that was challenging, number one, as well as starting to track the tunes in regards to that, but making them substantive enough, and putting myself in a box a little bit where I had to make sure that I pulled these songs off well enough, which I wasn't sure I could do, to convince and convey the idea that this is a very known artist. So that was a challenge in itself. And then even furthermore, It was very confronting, and still is as I release this. And I'm releasing a book that accompanies the film later this summer that goes even deeper into the devotional fold, as well as some of the abuses. Is I had to, you know, I was like, the only way to slay these demons from our past, you know, you can do psychotherapy, or you can do plant medicine or psychedelics, or you can be in anger or whatever your thing is I had to really announce my wounds, because I felt like that was the only way that I could truly heal from them in some level. And then lastly, I would say, I wrote the script knowing where I was headed in terms of this devotional path towards bhakti, but I was totally paralyzed by it and tried to walk away from it many times because I've never been like a big religious person, having grown up Catholic, and I'm not like big into organized religion per se, but the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and all the books from the Acharyas and Guru Parampara line hit me so deeply that I had to write the film to corner myself that after this film, because we can be tricky with ourselves and knowing what we know what's best for us and sort of wiggle out of it, that I cornered myself with this film by writing it, that you're not like I, by the end of the film, he's pursuing this path more acutely and deeply, because I was afraid that I would try to glamorize it and not imbue it in my own life, within my own, life that's now become since then. So,
That leads me to my next question, which is just, how did you find the path of bhakti? Maya O'Malley goes through this transformative process in the film that leads him to devotional, devotional yoga. Obviously, that's autobiographical, and really appreciated that it's tempting, and I know this myself, having a YouTube channel and talking to people about astrology, and then trying to find ways of sort of gently infusing the work with bhakti without coming on, too heavy-handed. You just did that so magnificently in the movie, and it felt like a genuine experience that Maya had, coming to this devotional yoga. How did that happen for you in your real life?
sure. Similar to the film, I met someone at the temple who I got really close with, and I went to the temple with her, and I wasn't really sure because it was a lot of, people chanting and like dancing around. It was so foreign to me at the time, and but she left me the Bhagavad Gita, and then which turned me on to the science of self-realization, which was a big impetus for it. So one of the things that and it just hit me hard, like the science of self-realization is one of the deepest books I've ever read. And I think that journey just began. Once Prabhupada kind of enters your heart, or the teachings of one of the books of his or some of the other gurus, it just slayed me. So my goal within the film was to try to tell this story genuinely and authentically without becoming too proselytizing, so people from the West who are looking for something deeper could unearth that curiosity, as well as it not getting in the way of the story, but helping infuse it in a way that was palatable to many.
Yeah, and it does that really well. I think, for example, I recommended it to a bunch of my friends who I would say are, they're not actively practicing any kind of spiritual, they don't have like a sadhana or something like that in their life every day, but just in the way that even if you're just looking for like a good indie film, so to speak, like just a good a well-made story about a transformational journey. And I think that there's a lot to be said for also, bringing out devotion, but doing it in a way that's not like it's not like the point of the movie. It's really to celebrate the whole arc of the life and the transformational process itself. And so I felt like you just had a really delicate touch with it. I have another question for you, which is, when you obviously had a background in music and in singing and songwriting, like I've said a number of times already in this interview, like the thing that to me was most compelling about the movie, in addition to the story itself, was the way that the music told the story. And I'm wondering, I just had the feeling while I was watching it that it felt like this must have been like a dam bursting in your musical life. Like it felt like a total revelation musically. And I'm wondering if you could just speak to that. Like you have singer songwriter background. How did this experience of making this movie like change your life as a musical artist?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I only started playing music as an adult after playing piano as a child, because I was in Los Angeles and there was a lot of downtime in between auditions. And that was right around the time that I got turned on to like Krishna consciousness and going to the temple and reading Science of Self-Realization, some of Prabhupada's books. So I wrote my first album entitled Kali Yug, which was like, okay, that's what I should name it. And like, because this is what I'm like, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm struggling with. And that was kind of like just getting my feet wet in terms of like, what is it that I'm going to say? What's my musical style? And if you listen to that album, you can hear like a lot of different musical styles in it, because I was really trying to hone in on like, who am I outside of like my influences? And then when it came time to do The Golden Age, I was like, well, I want to make a film with this, but maybe I'll make a musical, but oh, I don't want it to be lip synced. All right, so I'm going to do it in real time. And one of the challenges of, so it was like I was starting to find my voice and my style as a musician through this project again. But I was also had to be very cognizant of where I was in the film while I was singing this. And some of the songs and singing, it's almost like he's storytelling than like pound for pound singing a song, because the more I think he gets more raw and real with his story and shedding his own past, it almost becomes like the voice and the vocals become like a storytelling device than a pound for pound pop song, while at the same time, I think remaining sufficiently pop music. And I think there's a lot of I think there's a lot of room for pop music, similar to like George Harrison or some of these people from the past, or John Lennon, you know, and people like Harry Nilsson, all those guys who I look up to and admire so deeply, where I think there's room in pop music to bring these devotional themes to light. And I certainly respect like kirtan and people doing that. And I hopefully that'll be part of my path one day. But until that mood happens where I can approach that genuinely, it's like I really like the idea of, you know, like the 60s and 70s singer-songwriters singing more pop-centric music that has more substantive and devotional themes. As to why I wrote this album, wrote this script, because I knew that I could have a career in Hollywood as an actor or something, but I'm like, I think there's something deeper for me to pursue, even if it's a little more risky and a little bit more, you know, off the cuff in terms of marching to the beat of my own drum.
Well, it certainly worked. I mean, you are the winner of the Audience Award at the Awareness Film Festival, Best Performance Award at the New Hampshire Film Festival. You gathered some real critical acclaim for this movie, and I think I sat back and was when I was, you know, kind of reading about how the movie was received and stuff like that after I watched it, I was like, yeah, because it's really no small feat. I mean, I'm sure that everyone listening, I sound like I'm totally high on your movie, but it was really that good. Like, it was a highlight of my, you know, the past year or two of film watching for me. Of course, in part because I love the kind of music that you made, and I love the story you told, and I love Bhakti, and the movie is like, you know, all of that at once. So it was, for me, it was like a real treat. But I think other people will find similarly that the music is revelatory on some level. And I just, as I was, the reason I asked the question is because as I was watching, I thought, if this were just as an artist, I was kind of putting myself in your shoes and being like, this feels like it was an artistic breakthrough for him. Like this, it felt like the floodgates coming open. And I was reminded of some moments like that in writing my book where it felt like something genuine just started pouring through. So, yeah.
Thank you. That's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah. And I want to reiterate for people talking about the Bhagavad Gita, the temples, that we're talking, of course, about the Hare Krishna movement that came to the United States during the 60s. And one of the famous texts that Srila Prabhupada, who was the one of the monks who brought bhakti over to the West, wrote, which was kind of like a series of interviews, was called The Science of Self-Realization. And you know, that was a book that also grabbed the hearts and minds of a lot of really creative people, including people like George Harrison and the Beatles. So, you know, that would be a good one to follow up on if you're catching little nuggets like that and you're like, wait, what's that reference? That's what that's about. And also, of course, the Bhagavad Gita, which was is the seminal bhakti yoga text, as well as the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Gita is a good one to start with because it's a lot less. Bhagavatam's like 18,000 verses, so you know it's a little bit more manageable. But at any rate, I do have a few more questions. One is, so Maya O'Malley lives on because you're writing a memoir, which is a continuation or kind of like a further excavation of Maya's story and Maya's past as this famous rock star with this traumatic history. So tell us about the memoir and when that's coming out.
Yeah, that'll be coming out probably around the end of the summer. And I actually paused from releasing the film maybe a little earlier than I could have or should have, because I wanted to write a book with it. Because in a film, you can only have about 100 minutes or so to tell the story. And I felt like there was so much more that needed to be told. And when you know, a lot of audiences, when they read the book, they're like, oh my God, it was amazing. And then they see the film, they're like, oh geez. You know, so because there's only so much you can tell in a film. So that was equally, if not even more potently, confronting and difficult to surmise and work on. And I'm in the proofreading phase of it now, so it's like pretty much done. But it was hard because it went a lot deeper than the film. And I think I chose to do it, A, because there was more story to be told than what I could pursue with the film. But it tracks a lot of my life and goes a lot more in depth about the abuses with my own alcoholic father and like the complicated relationship I have with my mother living in Hollywood and trying to deal with all these permutations of material life. And I'm really excited to release it. But secondarily, I released it because in this day and age of streaming films, and obviously I'm trying to get more people to see the film because I think that this is palatable to people, not just beyond us who are interested in bhakti. I think it relates to so many people's lives who have had to walk through some fires. It gave another vehicle to like tell my story and to hit people deeper because sometimes people need a book versus a film or an audiobook or something. I think this will additionally accompany people's healing process if they dig the film. So that was kind of the goal with that.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the cool things about the movie as well is that, right afterwards, I immediately went to add the soundtrack to my library so that you can literally take all the songs from the film and, have them in your music archives because the film basically is an album as well. And so that's a really cool part about it. You have more music that you're working on right now as well?
Yeah, I'm working on my third album, which is called Material Life. And it's funny, this one is far more devotional than the Golden Age and kind of infuses more of that thread of bhakti. But again, always being cognizant of trying to be palatable to the Westerner. So it's like, or just to people that maybe aren't attuned to this fold. And it's funny that you mentioned in the film, like, oh, you related to it with bhakti, but it's so much more than that in some respects, because it could have been that I went on some like path towards being a Muslim or a Christian or doing plant medicine. It's almost irrelevant, it just happens to be that this was like the dosha or healing template or a theological foundation for which my life and your life has unfolded. But I'm really digging it and writing it right now because it's taking like a step up. And that's what I'm trying to do each time out with the next album is how can I go a little bit deeper, but make it palatable to those that are searching for something with more expansive, a little bit more depth. Because I think there's a lot of people in the West and everyone's trying to follow their like new age dosha, whether it's a healing or some new age book. Best-selling book on Amazon, and God bless those all because they're really trying to help people enjoy and figure out their lives. But I think the reason why bhakti has always hit me so deeply is it's kind of reiterating that there's no real enjoyment in material life, that your only enjoyment comes through service and surrender and dedication. And I think that's the theme that the next album's coming from, and that's where I'm trying to come from and show up in my own life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, I mean, I remember a quote from Srila Prabhupada, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but some people were saying like, do you, if I'm getting into bhakti, does that mean I have to negate my Christian faith? And Prabhupada, was like, no, if you love God and you're surrendering to the divine love in your heart and that's spread throughout all beings everywhere, that's bhakti, and that's all we're doing here. That's kind of the essence of what he said. And a lot of times it's really disarmed people when they thought he's coming to teach some kind of Hindu sect. You have to dress a certain way. And of course the ornaments of the culture are also really beautiful, but yeah, it's a bhakti is you're right in that the message of the film is really not about bhakti in any sectarian sense. It's really about this surrender of the heart and soul. And yeah, it was a really poignant film. I want to show some people some links before we have to go.
Sure.
I'm going to put them up on the screen and you can just, we'll just talk through them for a second. So first I'm going to take you to Justin's website and you can see that here. You showed Anandan or Justin Connor. So this is the justinconnor.com website. And you'll find links to, everything about Maya O'Malley and the Golden Age and other things that he has going on. So that's justinconnor.com. And then if you want to go to Amazon Prime, we'll put these links in the description too. But here is the Golden Age. And you can see the preview is running on the screen as I'm showing it right now. But man, was it was awesome. Like I don't want to sound like I'm just I've drunk the Kool-Aid so much, but I can't help it. I want everyone to go see it. So, and then let's see. I had a few other.
Just wait.
Let's see. Okay, so you've got
The album you
this.
can get on all streaming platforms. So anybody, Spotify, Apple, whatever you're interested in, the soundtrack to the film, Justin Connor, The Golden Age, you can see it there.
Here it is. Is this so you can go? Yeah, so this is the soundtrack. You can go Spotify. That's where I pulled it up right away. Amazon Music, it's everywhere. You can pull it up on YouTube. So the music too, like afterwards, like the music is now part of my life, literally. So yeah, I
That's
love it.
great. And one quick thing about Prabhupada that you mentioned, you know, I remember him saying this quote, and again, I may be paraphrasing as you did as well, is he said to a group of devotees, I remember back in the day, it was like, you know, the problem with you Westerners, you don't fear Maya enough. And I thought that was like, oh, that would be a good name for the character in the film. But you know, and that's why it's so beyond the sectarianism or even bhakti, is like we know that our true nature, whether it's this fold or Christianity or whatever sect or dosha, we know that our true purpose is to come home to whatever we conceive God or divinity to embody, and that there's always like a potent push and pull of trying to distract us or sway us from that path. And I think that being more cognizant of those allures of sorts, hence why the name Maya O'Malley in the film was kind of a metaphor to see, can we adjoin, or can we tw can Maya in the film, you know, sway that material energy and heal? And if Maya can, maybe we can sway our own interpretation or being allured away from the, you know, as such.
Exactly. I mean, that is why, like, everyone watching us, I'm telling you, when you watch this movie and you're drawn in, you know, by the character, and the story, and then realizing that this is fiction when it feels so real, and the music makes it feel so real, that it really does have this effect of making you reflect on the culture of fame that we all live in, whether it's the little micro moments of wanting to be famous through our Instagram or Facebook feed, or
Yes.
you know, whatever it is. Like the movie just really plays with that. And in a lot of ways, it's really, really funny. Like, you know,
Yeah, it's a
there's
satire.
totally,
You know, it's
totally,
a
like,
total satire. And we all are struggling with that with social media and like, look at me, look at me. And there's an element of me doing the same with this film, but it's like I had to take a hard look at my own ambitions and
yeah.
my own and say, like, is this really you, man? Is this
Yeah.
really you?
And also, like, I have to say, just as someone who, you know, grew up like really for a while, like trying to prop myself up with my e eclectic musical taste, that, like Spinal Tap, that sense of like sort of elitist indie pop, like there's a satirical element with that too, like in the, especially towards the beginning, with how seriously Maya takes himself and
Yeah,
stuff like that.
totally,
Like,
totally.
I
It's
was
like I
so, my God, it was so funny.
it's a lot of wink winking with the audience if they choose to be in on the joke, you know? So it's really a satire of everything, documentaries, perhaps even religion, but meant in a way to bring some levity. I think sometimes with these devotional paths is we get so serious with it, and it's good to laugh, you know, like it's good to, you know, Krishna was the ultimate trickster. There's always these jokes with it. And just real quick, full transparency with the film, it does feel so real to you and to me and to those watching it, because a lot of it is real. You know, I had to get really real with my story, because I knew that it was too confronting for a lot of others to do the same with themselves. So I kind of felt like I'm going to take the hit on this one. And if you can reflectively look that at your own lives and say where you've been wounded as well, I'll go through all this pain and trauma in hopes that it can may reflectively heal others. So it is very real. I don't want to like convey to people like I just wrote this as a lark. It is all scripted
No.
100%, but I was like, I want to get really gangster real with this because I want to heal myself and everyone who's gone through the same, because it's so you need someone to help champion and lead the way. Not that I'm here to do that, but that felt like part of my path, like that wounded healer, you know, or the court
Yeah.
jester of sorts.
Yeah.
I really
Both.
respond to those archetypes, you know.
Totally. And I think that's yeah, that's it's all done with a a light touch. Like you managed to address things that were real, that were autobiographical, that were light and funny all at once. And you know, the part of the problem of doing an interview like this, I'm realizing as we're doing it, is that it's like it's almost like you need to watch this interview. If you're watching this interview on my channel, just w check this out, then go watch the movie, and then come back and listen to this again.
Totally a joke within the joke, a documentary of the film within the documentary that you've seen.
Because it's like it's hard to talk about the movie at length without having people having gone through the experience of it first. So even You know, even like if there's parts of this where you're going like, oh, this movie's really interesting. I actually it'll be it really there are a lot of things about our conversation today will click at a deeper level, I think, if people watch this and then come back and re-listen to some of the things you said about how you made it. So
Sure. And just the other thing I want to say about the acting thing, like with it, you know, as an actor, it's like you get your lines and you stand in front of the mic and you kind of like or a camera and you try to be truthful with someone else's words. But there's a different level of acting that I try to portray and I try to direct others within it, is that there's no performance in this because it couldn't be artificial in any sense. So it was almost like reinventing an idea of whatever performance or acting is to me, who's been trained in that regard, to make sure that there's no artifice. I'm being completely real to you, even though this is totally scripted. And that was another thing to like really confuse people and throw a curveball, like, is this happening? Is this real or not? And kind of a play on material life itself, hence Maya, et cetera, you know?
It's true. Like
That was challenging to do, to pull
it
off.
felt a little bit like you had tuned into like a me almost like a method acting, like
Yes. Out in the desert, there's a scene, and like I really went for it. Like
It
I was
looked like
I
it.
like yeah, it was like a month. Well, just you know, he goes out to the desert to kind of clear himself of addictions and some of the pain, and he kind of like goes on a fast, and I went full Monty on it. And I was like crying after 10 days of not eating food and just bawling. But it's like, it was like, I needed to go through this myself and reveal to the audience that even though there's a wink, wink, I'm not trying to put you on. I'm trying to really go here. And if you're with me, I'm going to go as deep as you'll allow me to show
Well,
you.
I mean, amazing. And Yashodhananda Prabhu, it was really a joy to talk with you and hopefully inspire other people to go check out your work. You know, it's always exciting for me. Once in a while, I use my platform to try to do what I call crossover videos, where there's someone or something that kind of covers a lot of the different topics that I'm into, from astrology and archetypes, storytelling, myth, bhakti, you know, stuff like that. And your film like really was a high point of, especially over the long winter here, while things were, from at least for me and my family, still in sort of like lockdown mode.
Sure.
It was a deep and enjoyable meditative part of my winter to watch this movie, have the soundtrack around my life, really, you know, kind of on repeat for a while, 'cause I love the music so much and it's still there. But I highly recommend everyone check it out. It's The Golden Age, written and directed by Justin Connor, the story of Maya O'Malley. And hopefully after you check it out, you'll come back, re-listen to this, and also be able to retake in some of Justin's commentary on his process. So yeah, Justin, let's make sure we hang out again sometime, and you know, maybe come back after you've made a new album, you know, whatever. Just come back and talk bhakti.
Absolutely, man. I knew after hearing you speak on that podcast, I was like, oh my God, I feel a deep connection with this guy because he's been through the same. So this has been such a joy for me, and I'm really a fan of you and fan of how articulate you are in terms of being such a deep resonant fellow. So thanks for taking the film, man. It means a ton.
Yeah, you bet. Well, thank you. So thank you, everybody. And stay tuned for more. This is coming at the end of the week, so I'll see you all again next Monday. All right, take it easy, everyone. Bye.
Cheers.